I want us to read verses 3 and 4, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we're thankful to be alive. Thankful to be alive physically, but most of all, Lord, we're thankful to be alive spiritually. And thankful, Lord, that we have the health and the strength to get up, to come here to this service. And Lord, we're very thankful for this occasion, for this time that we celebrate your resurrection. Lord, we do thank you for that old rugged cross. We thank you for the blood that was shed, the sacrifice that was made, the payment for our sins. But Lord, it would all be in vain were it not for the resurrection. So we thank you, as your word says, that you died for our sins according to the scripture and rose again the third day according to the scripture. We give you praise. We give you glory. We ask that you'd be honored in all that we say and do here today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in verse number 3, Simon Peter blesses or praises. That the word bless there at the beginning of verse number 3 means to praise. So he blesses or praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because, as he says, he hath begotten us again. He hath begotten us. The us, obviously, is people who are saved, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Peter says here that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ hath begotten us. That means he's birthed us. It means that he has given us the new birth so that we're now a part of his family. And this is according to his abundant mercy. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy," not just mercy, but abundant mercy. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, Paul says that God is rich in mercy. And when you're rich, you have abundance. So God is rich. He's abundant in mercy. And mercy has been defined as God not giving us what we deserve. So instead of God giving us what we deserved, he gave us what we didn't deserve. He birthed us into his family. He made us his children. According to the Bible, we are the begotten of God. And notice he goes on to say in the verse, "hath begotten us again." That's why the Bible uses the terminology born again. It says he has begotten us again unto a lively hope. A lively hope. That means a living hope. And in this same epistle over in chapter 2 and verse number 5, Peter refers to those of us who are saved as lively. Same word. Lively stones. That means we're alive. We're alive physically, obviously, we're sitting here this morning, but we're also alive spiritually. We're no longer dead in our trespasses and sins. We have been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are a living people with a living hope. Peter says here in verse number 3, "he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Notice the word hope. One thing about saved people is that we always have hope. Amen? irregardless of the circumstances we have going on in our lives, even when it seems that everything is hopeless, we always have hope. We have been begotten again unto a lively hope. Before salvation, we were without hope, the Bible says. We had no hope. We were hopeless. We were destined to spend eternity in hell. But now we have a living hope, the Bible says. And this hope is laid out for us there in verse number 4, which is why I went ahead and read verse number 4, because if you look at the end of verse 3, you see that there's a comma there. So the thought in verse 3 continues on into verse number 4. And this lively hope that Peter talks about in verse number 3 is given to us in verse 4. And that lively hope is an inheritance. An inheritance is something normally that children receive. And that's the way it is when you become a part of God's family. God has an inheritance for his children, an inheritance that we will receive later on. And notice some things here about this inheritance. First of all, Peter says it's incorruptible. That means it can't ruin, can't be tainted, can't spoil, can't decay. Incorruptible, that is, it's impossible for it to be corrupted, is the idea. That needs to be set in contrast with all of the things that we deal with in this life down here. Everything on this earth that is of this earth is corruptible. Everything. You give anything enough time down here and it will corrupt. There's no question about it. That's why when talking about the treasures of this life, the Lord Jesus Christ says that moth and rust doth corrupt. Because anything and everything that is of this earth down here eventually wears out. Amen. I mean, you can buy something that's brand new, but if you give it enough time, it will eventually corrupt. That's the reality of the things of this life, but not our inheritance. Our inheritance is incorruptible. It'll never be corrupted in any way. And then he says also in that verse that it's undefiled. That means it's not defiled and it can't be defiled. It can't be made dirty. It can't be made impure. It can't be polluted. And again, that needs to be contrasted with the way things are down here. There's pollution all around us in this world today. People are constantly talking about the pollution that's in the air. And I can understand that with all of the different stuff that we put in the air. It certainly has reason to be polluted, no doubt. The water's polluted. The food's polluted. Things down here get dirtied up. Things that are pure are very often made impure by the filthiness and the ungodliness that is in this world today, but not our inheritance. According to what Peter says, our inheritance is undefiled. It'll never be dirtied in any way. It'll always be without spot and without blemish, perfectly pure. And then he says that fadeth not away. You know what that means? That inheritance, it fadeth not away. That means it lasts forever. It's eternal. It goes on and on and on. Nothing that we have down here lasts forever, does it? Talking about the things of this earth, the things of this life. Nothing down here lasts forever. Everything, everything is fading away. Everything. The Bible says the fashion of this world passeth away. And that's the reality of the things down here. We get things, we accumulate stuff, and to us some of these are very valuable, but they slowly fade away as time goes on. But not our inheritance. Our inheritance fadeth not away. That means it lasts forever. You'll have this inheritance for all eternity. And then notice he says it's reserved. Reserved. To reserve is to save, to set apart, to secure. Like whenever you reserve a room at a motel, you call ahead and you make a reservation is what they call it. And what they do is they set apart secure a room for you so that upon your arrival, it's waiting on you. You know what the Lord's done for every person that's been born again? He's reserved an inheritance for us. It's waiting on us. When we arrive, and one day we will, amen. Those of us that are saved, one day we will. We will. I hear, and I was listening this week to some songs, especially this weekend. We were listening to some songs at the house and in the vehicle, just good gospel songs that have to do with the resurrection and things of that nature. But I marvel, the more I listen to music, at how unbiblical some of these songs are that we call gospel songs. The message that you get from some of these is that if we just hang on long enough, we'll get there. Folks, I'm not worried about hanging on. If you're saved, you don't need to be worried about hanging on and hoping you get there one day. Look at verse number 5. We didn't read this verse, but look at that verse. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God. I'm not keeping myself saved. The Lord's keeping me saved. I'm not hanging on by my fingernails, just hoping that one day I'll get there. I know I'm going to arrive one day. If you're saved, you're going to arrive one day. You're going to get there. And waiting on you is your inheritance. It has been reserved for you. The payment has been made, and it's waiting for you. Notice, reserved in heaven. That's where it's at. That's why it's so wonderful, because it's not down here. It's in heaven. This inheritance is a heavenly inheritance that's reserved for us. Everything in heaven is perfect. Amen? Everything. So our inheritance is going to be perfect, incorruptible, undefiled. It fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The key to all of this that I've just been talking about, or what makes all of this possible, is at the end of verse number 3. You see that? What makes all of this possible? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, here it is, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice, from the dead. From the dead. That means Jesus was literally dead. He literally died. Liberals attack the Lord Jesus Christ, and they say things like he didn't really die. He just swooned. He went into kind of a comatose state, or he fainted, or he passed out from the blood loss and the severity of his wounds and that sort of thing. And I'm not making that up. I've heard that. That's what liberals say about Christ. Anything to discount the testimony of the Bible. But according to the Bible, Jesus Christ literally died. The Bible says Christ died. It doesn't say Christ swooned. It doesn't say Christ fainted. It doesn't say Christ passed out. It says Christ died for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, I am he that was dead and am alive, and thank God I'm alive forevermore. That's what he said. But Peter says he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What makes all of this that Peter talked about possible? What makes it possible for him to show us mercy? What makes it possible for him to birth us into his family so that we can have the privilege and the honor of being his children, having God as our Father? What makes that possible? What makes it possible for us to be alive spiritually, to no longer be walking around dead and in darkness? What makes it possible for us to have hope, to have an inheritance waiting for us? Why is it this morning that those of us who are saved are a living people with a living hope? I'll tell you. Because we have a living Savior. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ was not alive, there'd be no mercy. There'd be no new birth. We wouldn't have God as our Father. We wouldn't be his children. We wouldn't be alive. We'd be hopeless. Absolutely hopeless today. But because he lives Amen. Because he lives, we are a living people with a living hope. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning with thankful hearts. So thankful, Lord, that you did die for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. We know that we're alive, we're your children, and we have hope because of your resurrection. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you honor. And we ask, Lord, now as we go next door, that you bless our fellowship together. And Father, we pray that you would bless the ones that have worked so hard, that got up so early to come out and fix this food. And I pray you would bless all of this food to our bodies and our bodies to your service. And may you bless the upcoming services that we're going to have later this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.